Let's go to the gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 9. The gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, we are reading verses 9 up to 13. And this is what the Bible says. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn that what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray together. Father, we come before you again at this peak hour of our service, as we want to hear from you. Lord, through these words we've just read from your holy word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will explain and expand them into us to understand your will this morning. Teach us, O Lord, feed us with your truth until we need no more. This we pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Yeah, after a pause last week, we want to continue with our series in the Gospel of Matthew. And we are continuing from verse 9. The message that I've called, I desire mercy and not sacrifices. And here we are going to look at four points. After that we'll be done. We are going to look at the mighty call. Number two, we shall look at the surprising fellowship. After that we go to the foolish blame. And then we end with a divine desire. And without wasting any time, let's begin with a mighty call. So we remember where we stopped within the previous portion of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ had healed the paralytic man. Verse 9 reads, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. Jesus passed on from there where?
Yes, Christ, yeah.
Remember, he was in Capernaum, his own native, the city where he was living, where he grew from. And it's in Capernaum where he had healed the paralytic man. And people, we ended verse 8 with these words. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. After healing the paralytic man, people were surprised which kind of man this is. And Jesus never minded surprises. He continued from there. And this is where verse 9 begins from. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. This gospel was written by Matthew himself. And this very story, you find it in the book of Mark and Luke. But Mark and Luke call him Levi. Mark and Luke. They don't say Jesus met a man called Matthew. They use the word, the name Levi instead. No, it's a name Levi. Yes, that was his name. And it is believed that he is the same person and the writer of this gospel. Matthew himself says he moved and found a man called Matthew. Mark and Luke say he moved and found a man called Levi. Levi was his name. Some people have said they were different people. But many scholars agree that he was the same person for the following reasons. One, of the circumstances in which he was called, being the same in all the three gospels. The way he was called in all the three gospels is the same. Reason number two. Levi is not mentioned in the list of Jesus' apostles. Remember, the Bible tells us that he called him, "Follow me." And he followed him. But when you go through all the list of Jesus' apostles or disciples, you don't find the name Levi. Reason three. The Jews had the habit of giving several names to the same person. Just like Peter was also called Simon, but also Cephas. Just like us in Uganda, someone can be having three, even four names. Kiza, Lesije, Chifefe, and you can add even others there. So this Matthew, to say that he was the same Levi, is not a big issue here. Not this. Which other names do you have among the community? Matthew was also Levi. Levi was also Matthew. Which other names do you have in your community? I'm called Bill Issa, two short names. But maybe in the community I have a third, maybe a fourth name. Bill Issa the mean Omukodo. Bill Issa the prostitute. Bill Issa the cat chaser. The liar. So which other names do you have? Matthew himself decided to use the name Matthew. Mark and Luke said to use his other name Levi. If we call you by the names you gave to us, are you sure that all the people in the community call you by those names? Or maybe you have other names. You need to think about that. The Bible tells us that this Matthew was sitting at the tax office. He was a tax collector, a publican.
The Levi was his name, okay?
He was a tax collector. Like a worker of the Uganda Revenue Authority.
They
collect taxes. Therefore, publicans were tax collectors. Therefore, they were hated by the Jews. Why were they hated by the Jews? Although they themselves were also Jews. Remember, Israel or Palestine was under Rome, under the rule of Rome. And all the tax could go to Rome. So these tax collectors were just servants under Rome. They collected money to support their Roman oppressors. That's the first reason why they were hated by everyone in Israel. Second reason, they were extortioners or swindlers in their service. Okay. Actually, okay, let me explain this way. It means that they often took more than what was necessary and pocketed the difference. What we call in Kampala, enjawulo. They liked it so much. That's what it means, swindlers, ex-crocs. Thieves. How much is this? Your boss said you should sell it at 10,000. I tell you it is 50,000. I give 10 to my boss, I keep 40. The jawulo. So, and there was a saying that was going around that all publicans or all tax collectors were thieves. If you do the same things these days, you seated here, in your business, then you are today's tax collector in mind. And you need the mighty call. This tax collector receives a mighty call. You know the problem that we face as Christians? We are, we are pressed in every corner. We are not free like the people of the world. Jesus Christ himself has said that to follow him, you have to carry your cross, it's heavy. Many so-called born again, many born again do business these days. But many are thieves. They have the spirit of Matthew, the tax collector. When you buy this thing at 10,000, you go and sell it in Mbarara. Don't misinterpret me and say, no, pastor is saying that I should again sell it at 10,000. No! Count your transport to and fro. Count also your profit. Then put there a reasonable price. When you sell it at 50,000, you become a thief. Even if people will come and buy them, people buy them. But you are making too much profit. You become a swindler. Number three, Tax collectors were particularly not like, they were not liked by the Pharisees. Not at all. Why? Because of their dealing with Gentiles. You know, when you are a tax collector, you deal with anyone. Even Gentiles could come from Sidon, from other neighboring countries, and they could deal with these tax collectors. Remember, the Pharisees were the holiest people then. They could even check the way they walked very quietly. Now, these tax collectors were ever dealing with Gentiles. Were evil people before the Pharisees. Therefore, they would not even eat with such people. Therefore, publicans and sinners are familiarly associated. Yes. Because of that, Pharisees would have no communion with publicans at all. According to Theocritus, is one writer, the Orthodox had a saying that went like this. The Orthodox people of old, that take not a wife from the family of a publican. You know what that means? Don't try. Because they were seeing as, first of all, hated and despised both. Yet, from this despised and hated class, Jesus called Matthew to be one of his beloved and trusted people. No one is too vile, no one is too sinful to be reclaimed by Christ. Don't say where you are seated that no, I've ever done ABC, this is too much, Christ cannot accept me. Don't. Notice one thing here. Luke, I told you that Mark and Luke also have the same narration, the same story. But Luke mentioned something very important about Matthew, which Matthew himself omitted. What's that? Luke says he left all and followed him. Now let's go back to the scriptures. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. These are the words according to Matthew. Now we are dealing with the great call, the mighty call. Jesus finds this tax collector there.
Yes, Asanga, Omozo now.
They used to sit near the roads. Hated by everyone. Despised by everyone. He looks at him with those holy eyes. He tells him two words. Follow me. Period. He continues. Follow me. Well, what does that teach us? For us, when we go for evangelism, we waste even hours and means pleading with people. When you are preaching to your relatives, Mama jangolo goke mukwa no ana ngejangu. Okay, unojadi wa yangu. After sweating, Brother Sumani comes. After sleeping, that one comes. But the man Jesus Christ does not even need the third word. He does not need it. He used only two words. Follow me, it's up to you, I'm going. Now remember, try to figure out what was going on inside Matthew's mind. Someone you don't know is asking you to leave this well. That was a wealthy job. Even now in our country, go to these officers who work in the URA. They are wealthy because of their ways. Should I leave this money I have here? Follow me. Only two words made this guy give everything and follow. What kind of man this is? Remember the question? In this very chapter somewhere. After coming the storms, his disciples who were with him inside the boat exclaimed and said, what kind of man this is, that even the storms, even nature obeys him. Man, again, what kind of man this is, using only two words and someone lives well and follows. This shows that this was a man God. All these men is the one who created them. He had power and authority over them. If I have my things, I'll have whatever I need at any time I need it. If I want that car to take me wherever I want after service, it will. Therefore, I created you and I need you. Follow me. So we should also learn that as we share the gospel, pray to the Lord first, then go. Use the word of God. You cannot force people into Christianity. Share the gospel to them. Go home, continue praying for them. I don't say you can't go back and check on them. That I'm not saying so. But just try to avoid the trying to save people by your own might. My friend, aren't you my friend, really? And you don't want to be part of our church. You insist. Are you not the girl I'm going to marry? Are you not the young man I want to be married to? Now, because they love you, they don't want to break your heart, they will come, but they are not coming genuinely. Follow me, the mighty God, from the great Creator and Redeemer. Have you ever heard that call and you close your ears? Or these days, are you hearing such a call, mighty call, and you block your ears? All the hymns that we sang this today go in and hand in hand with this sermon. We have a question here. Why would you tarry when Jesus is pleading for you? Why would you delay? Follow me. Have you ever received such a mighty call? Or if it is coming your way, if you are hearing it these days, what's your response? Matthew himself says, after hearing the mighty call, he arose and followed him. But his friend Luke says something more than that. He left all, so arose and followed him. That part of leaving all, Matthew never said
it.
Why? Because if Matthew had said it himself, it would have been a commendation of himself, which he avoided. These guys are on the ground, very humble. Any type of boasting aside, how dare I write in my own gospel that I left all? It's his friend Luke who said it. How many times do we praise ourselves before people? Directly or indirectly? In our speeches. You know, I was a doctor. But I left everything for Christ. I was working in the government. I was in the office of the president. But I left everything for Christ. Is it bad to say so? No. But let's be careful that we don't say so that people can see, praise us and see something strange in us. Matthew left it all. And all means all. He left all and followed this strange man. He never knew him. The question to you and me this morning, have you left all? And I can answer for you. No. That's the answer that you'll be giving us. I've answered for you. Have you left all for Christ? No. You come to church, but you are still a skirt chaser. You walk with the Bible, but you are still a big liar. You are full of lust. You make money in dark ways. Matthew left all to respond to the great call, follow me. Two powerful words from our great Redeemer. He didn't have to plead with people the way we do today. This shows that he was a supernatural man. Let's go to point number two. The surprising fellowship. And we go to verse 10. Now it happened that Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?
N'abantu ababi bangi ne batuula wamu ne Yesu n'abayigirizwa be. Abafalisaayo bwe baalaba ne bagamba abayigiriza be nti, omuyigiriza wammwe kiki ekimuliisa n'abawooza n'abantu ababi?
Jesus sat at the table in their house.
Yesu yatuula ku meza mu nju yaabwe.
Which house?
Nyumba ki?
Whose house?
Nyumba yangu.
Again.
Neera.
Matthew leaves us
leave that out. It was his own house. If it was me, oh, Jesus came and sat in this house. So that Marvin can go, oh, Pastor Bill, Jesus sat in your house? Sister Sabrina, are you sure? But check these humble servants of Christ. He again leaves that information out. But again, his friend Luke brings it out. He sat in the house. Let's go to Luke 5:29. Check with me, Luke 5:29. Read in Luganda if you are there, brother.
Levi namukumbira embaga nene mu nyumba ye. Era waliwo ekibiina kinene ekyabawooza n'ekyabalala abaali batudde nabo ku mmere.
Did you hear that? Matthew brings it clearly out. Sorry. Luke.
Luca akijayo urunji.
That then Levi gave him a great feast in his house.
Levi namukumbira embaga nene mu nyumba ye.
And he invited his friends, tax collectors and sinners. There were many there. Back to Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 10. Now it happened that Jesus sat at the table in the house. You know why he was hiding that information? He wanted to obey the command of their great master. Who said in Matthew chapter 6? Let's just go just on the left there. Matthew 6, 1 up to 4. Hear what the master says. Read in Luganda 1 up to 4.
Mwekume utakoleranga bigambo vya mwele obutukirivu mu maaso g'abantu era babalabe. Kubanga olunakolanga bwentyo temuweebwenga mpeera erikitamwe ali mu ggulu. Kale bw'ogabiranga abaavu teweefuyiranga ng'ombe mu maaso go nga banafusi bwe bakola mu makuŋŋaaniro ne mu nguudo. Abantu babawa ekitiibwa. Mazima mbagamba nti bamaze okufuna empeera yaabwe. Naye gwe bw'ogabiranga abaavu omukono gwo ogwa kkono gulemenga okumanya ogwa ddyo bye gukola. Okugaba kw'okubeerenga kwa kyama, kale kitaawo alaba mu kyama alikuweereera.
He was putting that into practice.
Ekyo yali akissa mu nkola.
Trying to avoid anything that could raise him, could make him boast. He just says, when they sat at a table in the house, after receiving the great call, he obeyed it. He left everything he has, followed the great master. And immediately he invited him to his house. He made for him a great feast. He invited his colleagues, tax collectors and sinners. And they were having some nice fellowship together. Do you or have you ever invited friends, neighbors, and relatives to come and test on the sweetness of this Jesus you found? It's a question that is coming to you and me. Matthew, we are seeing an example in the Bible here. After testing the sweetness of Jesus, he said, no, this is more important than the wealth, my wealth and my job here. He left everything, followed Christ. He never ended there. He made a feast at his home and went and called his fellow, his colleagues to come also and see this mysterious man. And hear from him. The question is, have you ever done that or do you do such a thing? Again, I'll answer for you, no! You say, Kasta, I'm saved. Good enough, I'm saved. Even if my mom is not, my dad is not, my friend, my colleague, I don't care. We come to church every Sunday alone, from 1st to 30th January to December, alone with our Bibles. Do you check what Matthew did? He knows this guy is a holy person. But he calls his fellow tax collectors and sinners. They were full in that house, eating together with Christ, chatting with Christ. This morning we were talking about the feeling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's also another sign if you want to invite people to come and taste on this Jesus you've tested. Thank you, Brother Matthew Alex. Thank you. Matthew Alex. Invite them. Keep inviting them. If they remain, if they don't, let them go, but you played your part. Let tell friends. That is what we think is religion. But it's not. I've discovered something. First, come and hear. If they swallow it or vomit it, you've played your role. Let's always invite people to Christ. Not once again, because I had already mentioned this, how Matthew decided to hide this from his own gospel. Let's go to our third point. Okay, before we go there, yeah, we are dealing with a surprising fellowship. Yes, because it surprised everyone. Because Jesus Christ was highly respected
as
the great teacher, the wise man. He performed miracles. Some people even have started saying, this is our Messiah. But both, they find him in fellowship with tax collectors and sinners. The people who are hated by every Jew, Jesus is having fellowship with them.
Yes,
no, this cannot be coming from God. This cannot be a holy person. And now our third point comes, the foolish blame. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Among the Jews, table fellowship indicated intimate relations among those who shared the meal. In Ugandan cultures, I don't know. But in those cultures, If you share the meal with someone, it meant that you share everything that this one does. That's why Paul had to say this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5:11. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Don't even eat with him. Because according to the culture then, it was when you share a meal with him, you are sharing everything he does. The Pharisees were very strict about their special rules on eating, very serious. And they did not like to eat with less strict people. With people who are not strict. Like tax collectors and sinners. They could not shake their hands. They could not share meals with them. Here they assume that Jesus, being a wise teacher, ought to share their religious convictions, which they believed were scriptural. Psalms 1:1 says you don't even have any company with the sinful. So they believe that Jesus Christ would really go on their direction. Maybe you might be here also and you fail in the acts of mercy. You fail by wrongly using scriptures. Like what we've just read, 1 Corinthians 5:11. Don't even eat with them. There's another one. Let's go to 2 John very fast. Towards the end. 2 John, it does not have chapters, it's just verse 10. 2 John 10 says, so can Second John is a letter. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Don't open your doors for him. Don't even greet him. But friends, how do we interpret these passages? Some brothers have blamed me for having welcomed these people who are here, members of what you know, the yard. I met them in town. They told me that apart from you, we don't know any other person in Uganda. And we don't have money for a hotel. I opened my house for them. Some people brought this passage. Friends, how do we interpret these passages? You should not open your house for them because you should not greet them. What about your parents? Do all your parents share your view, your faith? You should not allow them inside your house. How many times have you greeted your parents? Your teachers? We shall come to that later on our fourth point. Let's read verse 12. When Jesus heard this,
he heard it.
I don't know how. Were the Pharisees also inside the room?
No.
But he heard the question. And he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And here we don't need to waste our time explaining. Everyone here knows well that when you are healthy, you don't need a doctor. It is sick people who need them. Let's go to our first point. After the mighty call, and you go to the surprising fellowship, then the foolish blame, then we are ending with the divine desire. As the Pharisees and other people were busy blaming Jesus, what does heaven desire? Verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance.
Naye mugende muyigeyo amakulu g'ekigambo kino nti njagala kisa so si saddaaka kubanga sajja kuyita batuukirivu wabula abantu ababi.
Jesus breaks the eggs.
Yesu Kristu yasa amagi.
Truly speaking, he was in the midst of sinners and tax collectors. People who are swimming in corruption and pride, theft and fornication. He was eating a meal with them. That was a shock to the Pharisees. Now, let's look at the divine desire. What does heaven want? It's very clear. Heaven desires mercy and not sacrifices. This does not mean that God was opposed to sacrifices. No. Because he is the one who commanded people to do that. It simply means that I like both mercy and sacrifice. But I prefer mercy to sacrifices. Or I am more pleased with acts of benevolence and kindness to others than with a mere external compliance with the duties of religion. That's what it means. I like more for benevolence, kindness to other people, whether Christians or not. And I repeat again, whether Christians or not. He had already taught on his Sermon on the Mount. Happy are the merciful, because they receive mercy. Did he mean that you should only show mercy to those of the house of God? Then, if it is so, those who are out, how will they hear the gospel? How will they see the gospel through our deeds? Mercy means kindness towards others. The Pharisees always brought the proper sacrifices, but they were totally lacking in compassion towards sinners. Not at all. If You are a sinner. You lack transport from town to Nalumunye here. A Pharisee could not give it to you. If a sinner died, you are, oh yes, let him die. But the Bible tells us, don't rejoice at the death of a sinner. But then if you are to cry at Rumbe, at the morning, it is after asking people, was he saved? And they say, no, cry more. Yes. That's when you need to cry seriously. When mass is lacking, then religious formalities are meaningless. And this word he used here, he was quoting Hosea 6:6 that we read in our first reading. Because the Ephraimites, the people of Ephraim, were busy giving sacrifices and sin offerings to God. But after giving them, they never minded their lives. They were living anyhow. That's why in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, God said, no, do I need your sacrifices the way I need? And let's read there. Let's hear what he says there in Hosea. Immediately after Daniel, you go to Hosea. After Daniel, we go to Hosea. Hosea 6:6. God says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So friends, 2 John 10 has already told us that you should not even open your house to those who are not of your faith. Corinthians says you should not eat with them, don't even greet them. But I think we should use discernment on how to go with this. Because I'm standing here before you as a Reformed Baptist pastor. Was I like this 5 years ago? I was a Pentecostal. And whatever we were doing there, we knew it was correct. Until a brother came to me. And we opened the Bible together. Here and there and there. And by the grace of God, my eyes opened. I saw that, this and that we are doing there is wrong. The Bible does not support that. What if he never came? What if he never came? These people came, we shared the gospel with them here. And they promised they want to be Reformed Baptists. They want to go and plant a Reformed Baptist church in Burundi. I'm a feeble, weak, mortal man. I'm not omniscient at all. I can't be sure whether they are genuine or not. And that's not my area. But we have someone who searches the heart. He knows well. Now what if tomorrow they really plant that biblical church in Burundi? What will these who are saying you should not have opened your house for them say, what can they say then? Friends, don't celebrate when you see Pentecostals in their ignorance. And you hear one dies. It used to happen to us years ago, but it's not good. Yes, die. Oh, yeah. Let him die. Yes. Like Mukajanga died. You know Mukajanga? The Catholic guy was really taking many to hell. Mukala. You should not celebrate that he died. They should remain alive. Maybe their eyes will be open and come to true salvation. Me as Bill. If all of you will leave me and say, no, Bill welcomes people who are not Reformed Baptists. Even if you will leave, you left me, I'll never stop being merciful to people who need my assistance. Did I share on their doctrines? No. Did I give them the pulpit? God is my witness. I gave them shelter. And when I heard and listened to their teaching, I told my wife, these are people of God. What is disturbing them is one thing, ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Period. If you can put them down, teach them the truth, they'll understand better and be better servants of God. And Hebrews tells us, don't fail to open your house to strangers. Because many have welcomed angels in such a way without knowing. Should you be opening your house to Reformed Baptists only or Reformed people only? That's you, not Bill. Yes, we need to be careful. Don't say, no, Pastor saying you should open, so no, start opening. It has happened to us many times in the past. Someone came and told us that he was a pastor. Pastor opened the house, Pastor Isaac, and he slept. He was sleeping somewhere. In the night, didn't he open the house and they woke up in the morning and found the sitting room like a mosque. The one who said he was a pastor was going for evangelism to Nairobi from Congo via Uganda. So even the opening of your house, be careful. So therefore we need great discernment. Thank you, brother. Always, whenever you are praying, ask God, disturb him, God, give me your discernment. Who is this who wants me to help? Should I, Lord? Because apart from welcoming the thief, you can welcome the devil himself. Can welcome someone who comes and rapes your daughter. Again, you reps in your son. So we need discernment. But what divine desire? He wants mercy more than sacrifice. Sacrifices means offering like we've just offered today. Coming to church, coming to mocktail church. All those are acts of sacrifices. You are sacrificing. But he says, continue. I need them also. But I prefer mercy. You move move on those streets of Kampala. You have money. But you put people begging. Look at people, really they need help. But you pass. And next Sunday you'll be on the pulpit preaching the gospel. No. No. You cannot just leave someone to sleep behind your gate simply because they are Pentecostal, they are Catholics, they are what? No. Personally, I don't think that's what these passages teach. By the way, do you know that we preach more by action than by words? I can shout here even for 3 hours here. Yes, you'll hear them and you'll try to obey. But in the evening, if you found me with girls, on girls' dress and what? See, the guy who was preaching to us. So the true gospel is by deeds, by action. You know how much money we used to take care of these people here. But we need it for Christ. I need mercy. I don't need sacrifices. Show mercy to people. What brought Jesus Christ from heaven to earth was mercy. Look at the people who created that our image. How they are now suffering. And Jesus Christ had to leave all the throne, his throne and the glories, and he came. It was mercy. Because if you don't show mercy to those of you outside your faith. Check those brothers and sisters well. Even the people of these own faith, they don't open their houses well for everyone. Someone needs your help. I don't help each and everyone for your information. Many have come to me in town. Many. I've just lost my money and I'm going to Chengera. I don't know how I'm going to reach. Can you help me with transport? I look at the guy and say, no, I don't have. You really see lies. That's how many make lies. After you give 5,000, it goes to another. The same guy goes to another, goes to another. They go home with like 20,000. Even by on showing mercy, you need discernment. Because remember, whichever money you have is not yours. It's the Lord's. You are just Omwanika. Okay? You are a steward. If you gave it to wrong people, you're in trouble. So make sure you use it and it serves the cause of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word you've given us this morning. We've learned a lot of truth from it. Now we pray and ask that your Holy Spirit will help us live it, put it into practice for the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, many of us are here who have not responded to your mighty call, follow me, the way Matthew did. Many we are here, Lord, and we don't want to welcome and invite people to come and taste on your sweetness the way Matthew did. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we can be true disciples of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we give you back all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.